You ever get pimples anymore?
Sometimes.
Do you know where the worst place to get a pimple is? I don't have it right now, but I had it like recently.
Right here?
No.
Is this a sad
Welcome
boy?
Back. Welcome back, Deathmatch Nobodies, to a brand new episode of Nobody's Deathmatch, discussing the movie Beetlejuice. Let's introduce our co-host contenders. In this corner, weighing in at the pound-for-pound equivalent of 10 caramel apples, standing tall at the height of the girl that you've slow-danced with in 7th grade with scoliosis, Steve Galbraith.
Yeah, we want more Steve, yeah!
Across from Mr. Galbraith, your host with the most, wearing a Beetlejuice shirt, coupled with a Hawaiian shirt, standing tall at 6'4" of hot hunk, weighing in at the pound-to-pound equivalent of, a hunk, I guess. Eric Cuvelier! Woo!
We want less, Eric.
On today's episode, we discuss the Tim Burton classic, Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice. Nice.
We have to just get it out of the way early.
Set it up. I hadn't seen Beetlejuice in a while. I'd kind of forgotten about it. Possibly because, like, I'm no longer a Tim Burton advocate. For a while there, I was really advocating for him. I was like, give him a chance. He's an okay guy.
Yeah.
But then, like,
handing out leaflets.
Late 90s, kind of, I don't know, he fell astray.
When did he jump the shark? With what movie?
I think whatever he started doing after Batman Returns, maybe. Well, okay, I'll give you this. I think Sweeney Todd is okay. Kind of okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't really hold up. But I think it was Johnny Depp, Charlie Factory. Charlie Factory.
Making all
chocolate
Charlies.
Chocolate in the Charlie Factory. that was a fucking bomb. I hated that movie.
That was pretty bad.
And I was mad at him, even though it probably wasn't necessarily just his fault, you know? There's plenty of people to blame for a bad movie that tries to reboot like a perfectly fine movie. With Gene Wilder, but
I thought the grip work on that movie was pretty poor too.
So pretty poor or pretty good?
Pretty poor.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they should be blamed as well.
What do grips do, by the way?
I don't know. Hold stuff.
So, I mean, other than Edward Scissorhands, he hadn't really been on my radar for a while.
Yeah.
Going back and watching Beetlejuice, though, I was entranced.
Yeah?
It was magical. It was a magical experience.
Nice.
Yeah. What were your thoughts right out the gate?
Like the beginning portion was really strange to me. Like the pacing was very fast.
Hold up. We haven't done plot summary yet. People don't even know what we're describing. You want to do a you want to give an airtight plot summary?
No, I think
let's call it a plot sum just to save time. Plot sum. Plot sum. Beetlejuice, starring Gina Davis, Alec Baldwin, Michael Keaton, Winona Ryder. Got him.
Yep.
Gina Davis and Alec Baldwin are a couple. They die, but they come back as ghosts. They're pretty much like, I guess, exiled. They're just sort of like... quarantined to stay in their home. They're not allowed to leave their big Connecticut home. And then when Winona Ryder and her family move into the home, they want to like renovate it and basically just like, you know, fuck it up. And Gina and Alec are trying to figure out what to do. And then Michael Keaton as Beetlejuice comes along, and that's pretty much like that gives enough, right?
Yeah.
Beetlejuice is a ghoul of sorts whose job is to horrify and terrify the living and mm-hmm. kind of like exorcise them from the house.
A bioexorcist.
Yeah. Hey.
It's from the movie.
Cheers to my awesome plot sum.
Yeah, here. Insert clinking sound effect.
And it should be noted that this movie was kind of, I don't know, like, there's, like, some big name actors in there, but this was kind of, like, their first big break for some of them. Like, I looked up, both Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis hadn't really been, and Winona Ryder, of course, hadn't been in anything of any, like, notoriety or substance.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, a couple of them were.
Yeah. Alec Baldwin looked extremely young in this movie. I couldn't get over it. But yep. Still, that same voice.
He looked great.
That same dreamy voice.
Yeah, I'd give anything to be Gina Davis.
Yeah.
Anything. What would you give to be Gina Davis? How much are you willing to give?
I don't want to be Gina Davis.
Who do you want to... Okay, how about this? Who would you want to be in this movie?
I can't handle like having a mouth that large. I wouldn't know what to do with it. All this room. Who would I want to be? No one. Imagine being Beetlejuice? Or a sandworm? Or one of the football players?
I would think you'd want to be Winona Ryder.
But then I couldn't.
But when I was watching this, I associated you most with...
Dad.
Otho. The interior decorator, uh-huh. Mainly because I've seen you shop and you love buying coasters. You're always looking. You're always on the hunt for some new coasters. It's a classic Otho.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's pretty fussy. I don't know.
You're saying that you're not fussy?
Yeah, I am saying that.
Okay, I'll agree.
You'll give me that one.
We'll cut you some slack. back to Gina Davis though and her big old mouth. I was pretty quickly endeared. Kind of person be, yeah, I was pretty quickly endeared by Gina and Barb and Adam. Gina Davis is Barb. Isn't really? That kind of weird? Yeah. And then Alec is Adam because it's close enough to Alec that he's going to like, he'll respond when somebody calls out Adam. He's like, oh, me, let's go. Or wait, that's not what he sounds like. Hey, I'm at. I'm just doing Batman.
Yeah, I know.
I'm Adam.
I am Adam.
But I was pretty quickly endeared with their chemistry.
They did like, have good chemistry.
I think, yeah, it's an early scene where it shows them. I don't know. They're just like they're moving into their new home and they're like playing and like I think the doorbell rings or something and Adam grabs Barb and
right.
and pulls her back onto the sofa and then I like that.
Yeah.
Say what you will about Tim Burton, and save it for your own time because I don't want to know what you have to say about Tim Burton, but he does he does a pretty good job I think of like portraying like. Sweet and tender relationships without having to like get uber sexualized or something like again like Edward Scissorhands with Johnny Depp and Winona
I agree
and Big Fish is actually a good one
yep
I want to know what you have to say about Tim Burton I've already spoken so much about the man
I go both ways on him well that doesn't sound good
Really? Which way would you want to go first?
I think it's kind of cool that he uses like the same people over and over. It's because it's almost like a family. I don't know. I think it's sweet.
The same people as in...
For his,
who are his players? Winona,
Johnny Depp, Helena.
It's basically it.
Yeah, I guess so. I think there's more overlap. I just can't think of it. But at the same time, I do get tired of that because he pigeonholes his own actors
right.
and actresses. Like Bonham Carter has played like the same character in at least 4 films.
Yeah.
And she looks the same. She has the teased out hair and like the super dark eyes and the pale makeup and like the frilly Victorian dress and all that stuff. So sometimes it gets a little played out to me, his aesthetic, which doesn't seem to ever really change, except for like Big Fish or something.
Big Fish was cool.
That was kind of an outlier. So I don't know. I have mixed feelings about him.
Yeah. And I don't know how many of his movies he actually writes himself or if it's somebody else and he's just directing.
Yeah, I don't know that either. Yeah, in the beginning, the pacing was too quick. I feel like everything was happening too condensed almost. Like they die and then they become like very acclimated to the fact that they're dead like extremely quickly.
Oh.
And just felt silly.
You want some more of like them freaking out and stuff?
Yeah, I guess they did freak out for like a minute, but it just seemed kind of like lazy, like the pacing of it. They had to hit these certain plot points like right. all in a row, and they just like, now they have to get freaked out, so let's show them freaked out for like 5 seconds, and then let's like jump to this next scene where they're like used to it, and then let's jump to this next scene where they have to figure out what to do. Like there was too much going on that was too crammed into it.
Did you find it too convenient that they got the, what's the name of the manual that they get? The Recently Departed or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Did you find it too convenient that they got that so quickly? Like, do you think there should have been more, a longer stretch of them just being in distress and like, oh shit, we're dead. What are we going to do? Is this hell? Is this heaven? La-di-da?
Yeah, all that stuff in the beginning kind of happened too suddenly.
I wasn't too bothered by it.
I noticed, yeah.
I liked how quick it was.
Uh-huh.
I was on board from the get-go.
Yeah.
From the very start, from the... I liked the opening credits of, like, the going through town, and it ends up being, like, his model structure of the town, and there's a tarantula on it.
Kind of Burbs-like.
Yeah. Hey.
Burbish.
Check episode 2, Burbs.
Check it.
Part of the greatest hits of Nobody's Deathmatch. Licking lips.
Licking my lips.
Well, what did you think of their death scene? They're driving their yellow Volvo across the red bridge.
Uh-huh.
I noticed the colors. I took note of it. It's so colorful. There's 2 different colors.
Yeah.
And then there's that... wait, what? How did they... I don't remember that part. Like, how did they end up veering off the bridge? Because then I do remember them getting stuck for a second. And there's that... goddamn mutt who's standing on the plank of wood and then jumps off and fulcrum, you know, physics.
They swerve to not hit the dog. He actually reaches over and grabs the steering wheel, I think, and pulls it to the side to avoid hitting the dog. And then the dog is the very thing that kills them.
Wow.
In 2 ways.
Did that dog have a vendetta?
Yeah, there's that moment where he's standing on the plank and they both look at the dog and the dog like very intentionally like frowns, steps off the plank and kills them.
But what did you think about their death scene? Did you think that was too quick? You thought it should have been more drawn out? Did you want to see them gargling and screaming for their mothers and fathers?
Yeah, I mean everything in the first like 10 minutes, it's just like you get like 2 seconds of each little point.
Well, yeah, I mean, they have to speed through it because there's no Michael Keaton. A tour de force, right. He delivers Michael Keaton.
So you think that they're just rushing to get to the
his 17
stuff.
Minutes of stardom, yeah. Not enough Keaton.
He wasn't in it very much, though.
No, I think I look at, I think he was only in there for 17 minutes.
But it's so concentrated when you do get him. I mean, he's just like fucking way up here, like constantly.
Yeah, very concentrated. Extra pulp of Michael Keaton.
When you were watching his scenes, did you...
find him likable?
Or? Did you get that problematic feeling where you're like, oh, I liked this when I was younger, but now I see it and it's like...
Oh, you're going to talk about misogyny of him lifting up Gina's skirt with a stick?
Hey, no, I...
Loved it! Keep doing it! No, I didn't find a...
You find him too brash for
I didn't find him too brash. Maybe, I mean, if anything, it might be like at the culminating scene where he's like forcing marriage upon Lydia.
Underage Lydia.
Nobody should ever be forced into marriage.
Right.
Come on, Beetlejuice.
come on, Beej.
Beej. But I don't know, I feel like he's on the spectrum of anti-hero. Yeah. What are your issues with Beetlejuice? And if you use the words feminine void or toxic masculinity, I'll stick this red pin right in your fucking eyeball.
It is interesting how...
You're trying really hard to figure out some...
alternate terms.
He grabs his thesaurus. Another word for toxic.
Yeah, I mean, he is being like sexually aggressive towards a woman who's not wanting it.
You're referring to him lifting her skirt up with a
stick?
Yeah,
and like groping her and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, because then doesn't he kind of transforms his wardrobe into Adam's wardrobe and then is sort of like hanging on her and stuff?
Yeah, he does a few things. And it's just weird to see it.
He also visits a whorehouse. Do you remember that?
That's true.
Whatever.
Sex work is work.
Can't figure out your party lines, man. Who are you voting for?
Yeah, he does things, and then you get the sense that in the movie it's meant to make him almost like charming or likable or something like that, or like, oh, that old rascal. But like when you boil down his actions to what they actually are, it's like pretty shitty stuff.
Well, I think I get that, but I think it also kind of makes him kind of like a conflictual character, because like by him being so handsy and kind of repulsive with Barb, it forces Adam and Barb to like kind of doubt him and have second guess him and be like, mm-hmm. let's get out of here, and then they, you know, home,
right,
and get out of there and leave him in the model. So like if he weren't so despicable and stuff, like you'd have to replace it with some other kind of catalyst for them to be like, no, this guy can't be trusted. So I don't know right. what that would even be.
He could be shady in other ways. But I don't even care that he's shady in that way. It's just presented like it's a light thing. Like it's not an...
Okay.
It's like it's an incidental thing. He did this. He's groping her.
Right.
Ha ha. Or like, oh yeah, he's weird or whatever. I just got the feeling that's how...
Would you have liked a disclaimer at the end of the movie where it says no Gina Davises were harmed in the making of this film?
Yeah. Just like watching Marx Brothers with you the other night and seeing like Harpo chase...
You watched Animal Crackers. It was great.
Seeing Harpo chase that woman, like she was terrified and he was just chasing her all over wanting to like, you know, do what?
Yeah.
Like when I saw that when I was younger, it was just like, oh, he's crazy or whatever. I didn't even really think of like what it actually meant. Where does that actually lead?
Yeah, he's ravaging the town.
Yeah, if you take that to its logical conclusion, what is that? That's like assault, basically.
Okay.
But it's used in a comedic way.
Right. So wait, are you thinking Beetlejuice is more offensive than Harpo or on the same...
I'm just drawing a comparison. I'm trying to say that when I watched movies when I was younger, I didn't realize that some of these things, if you take them to their conclusion, is like literal, like sexual assault, like big things that shouldn't be viewed as like small, incidental, lighthearted, comedic things.
I gotcha.
Anyway.
But I want to love Beetlejuice. You're making me feel things.
You can still love Beetlejuice. Oh. Shake it all the time. Work, 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 Sinora. Work your body line. Work, 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 Sinora. Work it all the time. My girl's name is Sonora. I tell your friends I adore her. And when she dances, oh brother, she's a hurricane in all kinds of weather. Jump in the line, rock your body on time. Okay, I believe you. Jump in the line, rock your body on time. Okay, I believe you. Jump in the line, rock your body on time. Lydia has a pretty awesome quote.
She has a lot of awesome quotes.
Like pretty early
She's
on.
She's like the
too.
Original Daria or something. She's so gothy and lovable.
Oh my god.
What's your favorite queen. What's your favorite quote of hers?
My whole life is a dark room.
Oh god, that is good. I think so. Barb and Adam are trying to figure out got myself. But shouldn't have celebrated. Barb and Adam are they're trying to scare the wits out of Delia and Jeffrey Charles, thank you. And they try doing the ghost thing, like they put the sheets on themselves and all that, and they're not doing a great job. And then Lydia's like the only one who can see them. And they're like, why are you able to see us? And she says, they say like, nobody else who's, no other live people are able to see us. And she says, live people ignore the strange and unusual. I myself am strange and unusual. Just want to give her a high five.
Yeah.
She's great. What do you think she's, she's just bummed about having these like kind of despicable parents who are in their own world. Her dad's not the worst. Her mom is pretty despicable.
Yeah. Right? The dad was pretty mild, I guess. Yeah. Pretty benign.
I mean, I think the dad's the one who wants to kind of keep the house the same. It's yeah. really the mom and Otho, your spirit animal, who want to like tear down the house and put her shitty yeah. art statues in there.
So why is Lydia sad? I mean,
is it just her irregular teenage angst?
I think it's normal angst, but I think she's a special extra tender type person. Mm. She's a sensitive boy, but a girl version, whatever you would call that.
Sensitive girl?
There it is.
Hey. I forgot about that demographic of listeners. They're coming out with a sequel of Beetlejuice.
No shit.
Swear to God. Yeah.
One of my questions was going to be, do you ever see them like remaking it? So yeah. This is a sequel though. It's not a remake.
It's a sequel. It's not a remake. Yeah, it's, I guess, like, Tim Burton's definitely wanted to do it for the longest time, like, since the early 90s and all that. And
I could see Keaton being down.
They did. Well, yeah, and that was part of the thing. He was like, I'll do it only if Keaton does Beetlejuice, because there is no other Beetlejuice, which right. I respect. Yeah. Nice job, Tim Burton. Have some fucking job. Dignity or integrity.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you lost it with Chocolate in the Charlie Factory. Is there anything else to be said about Michael Keaton's amazing performance as Beetlejuice? He's just like, he's punk rock and unhinged. And
do you have a favorite Michael Keaton performance?
I'm trying to, so it wouldn't, he's one, like, he's one of the better Batmans.
Yep.
Other than Christian Bale. He's like the best probably. But that wouldn't be it. What else was he in the late 90s? I remember him being in like,
Multiplicity.
Multiplicity, thank you. I went to Synchronicity by the Police. And that was, I don't think that one was very good. I remember seeing him in White Noise, also not very good.
Basically, it's Beetlejuice or Batman, I guess, is the question.
Or Birdman.
Or Birdman, for that matter.
If you're like a, yeah. If you're old to the Michael Keaton train.
Yeah. So you're going to say Beetlejuice?
Yeah.
Over
Batman?
Are you
like setting me up right now? I feel like you're about to like,
I do have a pun.
Well, Eric, just so happens that Beetlejuice is his worst character.
Look at this.
You
pole.
Clearly never saw Clean and Sober. No, you got a pun?
Yeah, I was gonna. Whatever
best,
you ask.
Bestiljuice? Ugh, fuck that. Fuck me.
Fuck that right away. Fuck that right out of here. Yeah, whatever your answer was, I was gonna say. Insert movie title here. You gotta be Keaton me. Which I didn't have written down.
You know, I was actually just looking at your journal too. I was like, oh, he's not written down.
I came up with it on
planner,
the spot.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was actually interested to know your answer though.
Beetlejuice.
And
I'm learning to ask you a question after you ask me, because social etiquette says it's nice to include. It's nice to have a dialogue.
Sometimes. I mean, if you do it too much, then
who's
it's
your favorite
just weird.
What's your favorite Michael Keaton role? You have 5 seconds.
I think I'd have to choose Batman over Beetlejuice.
Okay, so final answer for you, Batman. I'll respect that.
Thanks.
Oh, good. My Capital One payment is posted. It's so fucking disappointing when like your phone is flashing and you're like, I got a text from a pretty yeah. lady. And then no.
Yep.
Capital One appreciates you being a fucking slut to their wage.
That always happens with me and emails. I think I get some little spicy email and it's always Cox.
Spicy meatball?
Yeah.
It's always Cox?
Yeah.
Just pictures of Cox?
Cox Communications. Thank you for your payment. By the way, we're charging you more now. For no reason.
Man, you're really political in this episode. You're voting for Bernie, aren't you? Oh, yeah, you don't even know who Bernie is.
I do. I just haven't seen him in motion. Did you know that I have...
I know what a egret is. I just haven't seen it in motion.
Did you know that I have currently, today, November 14th, I have two...
Sorry, the 14th. Wow.
Two Christmas presents bought. One of them is for my mother.
Another one's for...
One of them is for
me?
You.
Shut up.
It's true.
Shut up.
I will not shut up.
What? Shut up.
No, I refuse.
Yes.
I speak the truth.
Oh, that's terrific.
And it's the same gift.
The same gift that you got me a long time ago?
No.
Did you give me another Slinky? You remember when you got me a Slinky?
Those were...
I still have it.
Those were younger years.
Yeah, that was kind of an early on.
Yeah,
gift.
Like, I was just feeling you out.
Yeah. Yeah. Will this guy stay around if I give him a weird gift? Oh, he will. He's a keeper, all right.
Remember you gave me a fart machine for my birthday?
Did I really? That's awesome. Do you have it still?
No,
I never
broke.
I never got to play with it.
Oh.
We could have used it on this episode. On all the episodes.
No, I meant it's the same gift as...
what you got for your mom?
Yeah. Which is a joke. Ha ha ha.
Oh, it was a joke.
Good one, Steve.
Because you got your mom a gift certificate to...
Bed Bath & Beyond.
No. What's that grocery store she likes? Frankincense or something?
Yeah. Frankenstein Farms.
What's wrong with her eyeball? You just trying to spread germs everywhere?
Yeah.
Great.
I want to get sick here now.
I'd like to unpack a little bit of the Beetlejuice afterlife mythology.
Yeah.
Which I like. I mean, I wouldn't like it to be real. Like, when I die, I just want to die. I don't have to, like, wake up and then, like, be stuck in my one-bedroom apartment, all 1,200 square feet of it, ladies.
That's pretty big.
I guess 1,200. How much is this?
1,200 is, like, how large my parents' house is.
Oh. All right.
Which you were just in.
Maybe I meant 12. I think it's 12 square feet.
12, yeah. That sounds,
okay.
More
that sounds about better. Yeah, two of me could lay down pretty easily, I think. Where was I?
Santa Barbara.
Oh, yeah. When I die, I want to die. I don't want to have to like be stuck in my one-bedroom apartment and then have to like visit basically like DMV, basically, and like just be in the line and taking a ticket and stuff. It's grueling.
Yeah.
So, listeners, like after Gina and after Barb and Barb and Adam die, they get that book. They figure out, if we draw a chalk doorway and knock on it three times, we can like kind of get into the like
netherworld.
Sort of like, yeah, the netherworld, I guess. That was pretty cool. I like the brick thing. I remember that as a kid, and it was
good job.
I like the sound of it and all. Then they like, then they like basically go to like just some terrible like city government kind of place where they have to wait to talk to a case manager or a social worker, basically. I like how they show like everybody who's there. Well, everyone who's there is obviously dead, and you can very clearly see how they died because like they basically. Their bodies represent how they died. So they're, of course, there's like a guy who has like a shark on his leg, and there's the head shrinker guy and stuff.
Which, let me say really quick, that head shrinker guy.
Oh God, are you going to say it's offensive to somebody?
It's a memory shard for me.
Oh, the guy who is the head shrinker or the head shrinky?
No, the head shrunken head itself.
Yeah.
Like his little dried up face.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I saw that, it brought me back in time. I was like, holy shit. And it was just him. Like, nothing else about that movie. Crazy how my mind works.
Why do you think they didn't have Adam and Barb look like they were dead?
Oh, yeah. They'd be
just like their normal selves.
They'd be, like, waterlogged or something?
Yeah.
Is this a trivia question?
Kind of.
I don't know. Too expensive.
Tim thought it would be mean to make them be wet the whole shoot.
Oh, to the actors themselves.
Thanks, Tim. You're really digging yourself out of a hole. We started off really hard on you, but it seems like you got a heart. Well, let me ask you this. Is there an afterlife, Steve? There's only one correct answer, and it's mine.
Yes.
That's wrong. Sorry. Try again.
Maybe.
Okay. Getting closer. I'll take maybe.
I hope there is.
You hope there is? What do you think? I mean, like, in your best scenario, if you could manifest an afterlife, what would it look like? Probably wouldn't look like Beetlejuice, I'm sure.
I definitely wouldn't want it to be the images that have been given to me already of heaven.
Like, and knowing that there's a hell too.
Golden roads and angels with harps and cloud cities. And
that's assuming that they let you in, right?
I don't know if I'd want it to be like ultra paradise or something.
Yeah.
I just want it to be like cozy and nice and just like have all the people I love close by. And
you kind of just want immortality, really. Like,
but is it immortality if, I mean, you're dead?
Well, not really. I mean, you're still able to do stuff. You still have all your loved ones and right. people that you want to see.
So it's like an extension of life.
Yeah.
Afterlife.
You extend your contract, basically.
Yeah.
Almost like an afterlife, yeah.
That seems really greedy, though. I would not care for total non-existence after I die.
You don't want to return to the cosmos?
Wouldn't care for it.
You don't want to feed a tree with your nourishment, with your nutrients?
No, that's all fine. I'm just talking about my consciousness, like, being blackness for eternity.
And I remember that. I remember liking Beetlejuice as a kid for that reason, too, because I think it was probably around the time that I started watching Beetlejuice pretty regularly that I don't know how old I was when I realized that, like, everybody dies. I was probably kind of young. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to guess between, like, 5 and 8 or something I figured it out. Probably like a cat died or a grandma or somebody. No, my grandma's died later. Not a grandma, a cat. And I just remember being horrifically bummed out for like, I turned into Lydia for a little bit as a small 7-year-old boy. I just started wearing
knickers,
black veils, knickers. And I think I was, like you said, I was the scariest part. I didn't ever subscribe to a heaven and hell kind of like afterlife. That didn't ever hold much water for me. But like, I definitely pretty early on was like fearful of like just nothingness and like not like no longer having a name or identity or a way to communicate. Not even having, you know, thoughts of which to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And that freaked me out for a bit. I don't really remember how I ended up processing. Well, no, I kind of do actually, because I think watching Beetlejuice, what I really appreciate about it is that it does make light and make it comedic and make it endurable, like facing one's own mortality mm-hmm. and death. Not to say that, like, I was watching this and thinking, like, oh, well, they died, but they're ghosts now, so I'll be a ghost, too, or something. I wasn't, like, an idiot. But it, I don't know. It somehow just made it okay. Like, I just realized, like, we're all in it together sort of thing. And I'm going to start sounding like Donnie Darko if I keep talking. We all die alone. So now you're kind of the position, you're just like, I don't know for sure, but anything's possible, kind of?
Yeah, no one can know for sure, but I just know what I don't want. I mean, I think that would be terrible and pointless and, like, I mean, you wouldn't even know, I guess, because you don't have a consciousness mm-hmm. anymore. You wouldn't know that you're not existing.
Yeah.
But just thinking about that, I think that's the ultimate bad thing to happen. It's just ceasing to exist.
But you wouldn't, I mean, this is a full disclosure philosophy corner right now. You wouldn't have a consciousness with which to identify that as bad right. or good or anything.
Right.
So, sounds like a pretty good, okay. Sign me up. How do you feel about reincarnation? You want to sign up for that?
That'd be fine. Sometimes I wonder if some of the people that I see in the world have already been reincarnated as other people, and like they know that, but they have some kind of like divine contract
yeah.
where they can't like benefit from it. You're
thinking of particular? Are you thinking of certain people in particular who?
No, I just wonder. You know, I sit down at the park and I.
Who do you think you might have been? Who do you think you might have been in a past life?
I don't know, Genghis Khan. Ugh.
So offhanded, yourself, just like, yeah, whatever, I am. I would think, who would you be? You'd be wearing suspenders, I know that much.
Yeah.
Probably have, what would you be? I could see you being like an inventor. You saw Cloud Atlas, right? Basically, that's,
yeah, right.
That's my Bible, yeah.
Oh, boy. You'd be like
I was once Tom Hanks in another life.
Yeah. We all were, I think. I could see you being like a big-hearted sheriff's deputy in the Old West.
Really? Why would I have a big heart?
Because you're a big man.
Like I'm
a
it's like a congenital heart condition that I have.
It'd be like outside of your ribs.
So what's the deal with this whole conjuring... Conjuring by
so
saying
what's
that,
the deal?
Yeah, I hate Jerry Seinfeld, but
what
I love
is
quoting
the
him.
Deal?
What's the deal with conjuring? You say a person's name three times and all of a sudden he's here? Get out of here! It's Jerry Seinfeld. That's
yeah.
pretty good, right?
Yeah,
it's Billy Crystal, but whatever.
I know. I'm on vacation.
No, with Beetlejuice, you say his name three times and then he pops up, which, like, I don't know, there should be, like, some limitations or some kind of fail safe. Like, what if you just accidentally say, like,
yeah. And is there a time limit? Do you have to say it?
That's what I was
certain...
wondering too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You say it twice and then you wait a day, you say it again and then he's back. Right. And then it made me think of, did you ever see Candyman?
No.
Tony Dodd, I think his name was. Candyman is like, that's kind of a scary movie in its time, but it's like, you know, the whole urban legend. You stand in front of the mirror, you say his name. I think you have to say his name like five times.
He's
so you have, to, yeah, you really want it. You really want Candyman to pop out and hook you.
He's so high maintenance.
He's very, he's like, I just, he's very like insecure. He's like, yeah. Do you even want me? You only got the three. Say it five times. So I don't know what that's all about. Like, they don't really explain that.
Yeah. It's kind of like got sexual undertones, huh?
Go on.
No.
Like, I don't...
Just saying it each successive time with more intensity.
Fervor.
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. Like, you're getting fucked.
Getting I don't... Fucked. Extremely uncomfortable now. You finally did it. You finally out-perved me.
And when she... Was she, like, giving them a pep?
Does it sound like Beetlejuice?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, good job.
All right. Quote time.
Quote time from Beetlejuice.
Yeah. Gina and Alec first meet Beetlejuice, and they're asking him, like, well, are you qualified? Remember this quote? And then he says, I attended... doesn't really sound like him.
No, too high-pitched.
I attended Juilliard. I'm a graduate of the Harvard Business School. I traveled quite extensively. I lived through the Black Plague and had a pretty good time during that. I've seen The Exorcist about 167 times! Oh, wait. Too loud.
Yeah.
Back up. Did it break?
Yeah, it broke everything.
Okay. Fuck it. Don't want to read the quote. Fun fact, this movie is rated PG, although Beetlejuice drops an F-bomb.
Yeah, he does.
Do you remember what he says?
No.
Nice fucking model! Honk, honk.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet. Love you, Beetlejuice. No matter what Steve says about you, I think you're a good person. You're my anti-hero.
I liked how there were so many shots where you like couldn't tell how big anything was, like the scale of everything and the relative size of everything to each other. Very disorienting. Which I use that word, I think, in every podcast because I get disoriented when I watch pretty much any movie.
Do you watch these like upside down? Like you have your legs hooked up in one of those? Yeah. Call them. Finish the joke for me.
No.
Okay.
I am usually in a sex swing, though.
Gross.
So I am suspended.
Just saying Beetlejuice over and over again. That was the grossest thing I've ever said.
So at the end of the movie, are Barb and Adam still ghosts?
Yes. But they've found like harmony. They're like simpatico with Lydia and her family.
Yeah.
I love, like, seriously, it's like my favorite scene probably, where they're dancing to Harry Belafonte, jumping the line or whatever. And Lydia's,
she's floating.
She's floating. Yeah. It's like, ugh, that's magical.
But she's not dead.
No.
How's she floating?
Is the football team dancing behind her or something on the stairs? Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah.
Okay. She's floating because, well, clearly she's got a special gift, the fact that she's actually able to see Barb and Adam. And let that be a lesson to you, kids. The more goth you get, the more powers you have. Yeah, that's another movie.
Yeah, they're not trying to tell us that she's dead or something by her floating. So they're still dead. They're still trapped in the house for all eternity, but they're happy now because they can stay there.
Yeah.
And be friends with Lydia and, like, be her second set of parents, basically.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. Do you have a trivia song lined up?
Trivia! Do, 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 do. Trivia.
My girl's name is Trivia.
Trivia.
Question one. Mr. Galbraith, the good Steve Galbraith.
The sick Steve Galbraith.
The original draft of the script was significantly more dark and violent and did not include Beetlejuice trying to marry Lydia in that botched wedding scene. What did he try to do instead? And I have multiple choice.
Jesus.
I took this very seriously. A. Eat Lydia. B. Rape Lydia.
Oh.
C. Become Lydia. D. Empower Lydia, showing her that she doesn't need to be the objectified B story of any man's narrative, that a healthy body image and sense of self-worth can only be harvested from the fertile lobes of her subconscious, not from the phallic snake manifestation of a phantasmal creature and patriarch.
Very good. Very good job.
So D is your final answer?
The first
Do you
part
need
of
to
that,
hear him
the first part of the question was it was darker before it was rewritten?
Darker and more violent. And did not include the botched wedding scene.
Right. I'm gonna say eat.
It was rape.
Oh god.
I know. And he was not envisioned as the Beetlejuice that we know and love in his black and white pinstripe suit or whatever. Uh-huh. He was envisioned as a leather-winged demon whose humanoid form was of a squat Middle Eastern man.
Oh no.
And yeah, he talked in kind of like a pidgin dialect in the drafts or whatever, but somebody realized that was a horrible idea.
Fuck.
And can you imagine? I can't. Second question. So you're 0-1. I mean, yeah,
I'm glad. Isn't I didn't that get that
up?
Right.
Yeah. Michael Keaton was not Tim Burton's first choice for playing the part of Beetlejuice. Who was? Multiple choice. A. Daniel Stern. B. B. Sammy Davis Jr. C. Jeff Daniels. D. Prince.
Sammy Davis Jr.?
Very good. Ding, ding, ding. Yeah.
That is bizarre.
Oh, I ruined one of my trivia questions because I already told you about the Tropical Island sequel that they were talking about. But I can tell you what the taglines were on the poster. You want to hear that?
Yeah.
So again, this is they originally were entertaining this idea of having a Beetlejuice sequel take place like on a tropical island. And the taglines were, "The ghost with the most is back, just in time to get laid." Like, you know. You know how they lay you? This summer, he's putting the ow in luau. Doesn't even spell it right.
Jesus.
So bad. Question three. The studio disliked the title Beetlejuice and wanted to call it what? A. Weekend at the Dietz's. That's Lydia's famous last name. Found it. A little too late. B. A model home. C. House ghosts. Or D, you can teach a new ghost old tricks.
Wow. So you came up with all of those except one.
Yeah.
Wow, you're really good.
Thanks.
I'm so proud of you. A model home?
Close. Being that that's answer B. It's actually answer C, right next to it. House ghosts.
Oh, that's so bad.
Isn't that really bad?
House ghosts?
Yeah. Oh, terrible studio. God, bad job,
that
studio.
Is so bad.
No, this is a good one. So let's see here. One of three right now. It's reported that Tim Burton tried to film the Deo scene. That's when they're dancing around the table and the shrimp cocktail, all that. He tried to film it by positioning stagehands under the table and throwing the shrimp. Which actor on the set takes credit for advising Burton to place the shrimp on the actors' faces, film the shrimp as they fall off, and then run the film in reverse, which is what he ultimately did? Multiple choice. A. Dick Cavett. That's the guy who plays Delia's agent.
Yeah.
Remember him? B. Alec Baldwin. C. Glenn Shaddix. That's the guy who plays Otho.
Huh.
U. D.
A.K.A. U.
D. Robert Goulet. He plays Maxie Dean. You remember him, right?
Yeah.
We didn't really talk about them, but who cares?
Alec Baldwin.
No. Dick All Cavett. Right.
Okay. He is old, so wisdom comes it with seems, age.
I thought it would have been, I mean, I don't really know Robert Goulet. I just base him on Will Ferrell's interpretation of him. So right. It seems like Robert Goulet would have been the guy who'd been like, why don't you film it backwards? Uh-huh. You know? Catherine O'Hara was not originally cast for the part of Delia, but was a replacement for an ill actress. Who? A. Nicole Kidman. B. Jamie Lee Curtis. C. Angelica Houston. D. Helena Bonham Carter. I should have had Johnny Depp on there for some reason.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
I wish. Angelica Houston.
Oh, I could see, yeah. I wanted to say Angelica Houston because of the Addams Family connection.
Oh. Oh. Wait, Tim Burton directed Addams Family, right?
Oh, did he?
I don't know. Why did you bring that up?
Just because Addams Family was goth and...
Oh.
You know. I did very poor...
I don't think he did direct it. I know, you're like at one for... Who cares? Because you're losing. Four, you're not going to come out of this hole that you've dug yourself in. Glenn Shaddix, the guy who plays Otho, played what part in Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas? No multiple choice. You just have to do it. Just be a big boy and do it. Take your medicine.
The mayor? Hey, redemption.
Confetti!
I'm twirling around in the confetti.
That's terrific. How'd you come to that answer?
They're both fat.
Excellent. Excellent. Excelente, Steve Galbraith.
I mean, sorry, they're both overweight.
Yes.
They're both obese.
People are not fat in 2015. People are...
obese.
Perfect in their bodies.
Oh, right. Just one.
And this concludes the trivia round. Steve Galbraith batting a... excellent average of 2 for 6. I think it was.
Yikes.
Final thoughts.
Final thoughts.
So to summarize your thoughts, you're going to wait for 16-year-old Winona to age a little bit more. Oh, then you'll marry her and everything will be fine.
I never said that.
You don't care for Beetlejuice being kind of like assaultive, misogynistic. You don't want to die and evaporate into nothingness. I guess I'll give you a break. I'll help you out with that. And those are kind of your main points. Why don't you summarize mine? Where are my points? I had so many. I know it's hard to summarize.
Your points were...
Point some.
Your points were... you fucking loved Beetlejuice.
So good.
In all of his glory.
Yeah. The movie and the man.
The movie and the man. Especially the man, the ghost.
The man behind the movie.
You had no issues. You took no issues with the pacing at the beginning of the movie. You wanted it fast. You wanted to get to that Beetlejuice action.
Yeah, fast and hard.
Fast and hard is how you like it. You're a very good multiple choice maker person.
Let's segue into a full disclosure, full frontal disclosure segment, okay?
Uh-huh.
I'm glad I remembered this.
I am sick.
There's one part, Steve's sick, everybody. Did you notice? Did you notice his nasally, disgusting voice that he thought was good enough for podcast gold? I apologize on his behalf. Your voice is fine. Full frontal disclosure. I got teary-eyed at one point in this movie. What scene did I get teary-eyed during?
The last one, when they're happy.
How'd you know? Did you get teary-eyed too?
No.
As Lydia's floating up and
yeah,
and Jumping the Lines playing, that I was just like,
you're just so happy, so moved that she was finally happy, and
I guess
they were like, she's a like little family.
Self-actualized, so maybe I appreciated that she. Yeah, it's a beautiful ending.
Yeah,
beautiful tears shed my face.
So Beetlejuice is your Shawshank.
Yeah. I think I tore up Shawshank more than you tore up Beetlejuice. So I think I'm king for a day.
No, not in that respect, but just in a beautiful ending that brings tears to your eyes. That's what Shawshank does for me.
I don't remember you saying you got teary-eyed during that.
Yeah, it's like the really? Only ending I always cry at.
Two grown men painting a boat together.
Embracing on a beach.
Jesus. What a wuss.
Fully clothed. Interracial.
Okay, so I guess takeaway, did it sounds like you're saying you liked Beetlejuice more as a child than you do now. Or perhaps you found more flaws or something than you did then.
Yeah, as with most of the movies we watch, I find right. more flaws.
Seems like there's
now.
A pattern occurring here.
Yeah.
Children are dumb. Anything else to say? Where's that Twitter King face that I know and love? Look like your face is melting. Just say the word and I'll say bye, everybody.
What word is that?
Bye, everybody! How you doing over there? You look tired.